I am full of a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. You're going to be bouncing off the walls?
I am already bouncing off the walls. I have been up since 4:30 this morning.
Remember, wow. I said, holy crap, woman.
Yeah, I was sitting up asleep. I had to go to sleep at 9:45. I started watching Tabitha's takeover because I love Tabitha Coffee. Like, you know, I love her to death. And I watched that, and I couldn't sleep. But I finally did manage to go to sleep, and I woke up promptly at 4:30, and I mean, I literally sprung up like, woo, let's do this! I don't know what's going on, but it's good, it's good. Could have been the full moon last night, too.
Ooh, yes. I didn't realize it was a full moon.
I didn't realize it either until I came out this morning. It was lovely. It was
full
and pretty, and the clouds were passing in front, and I was like, oh, that's why. Because y'all know I'm like a kind of a werewolf kind of thing going on with the full moon.
I don't, just without all the fur?
Yeah, without all the fur. I'm like, oh, like, let's go. So you're listening to Lunch with Ginger. Yeah, Ginger and Corey, in case you
Yay!
Didn't know.
Yay! Yeah, we're not quite sure who we are this morning. We're working on it, though. We'll let you know.
Get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay, you bot, stop tweeting me.
Oh, crap. I knew I didn't have something open. I was like, what am I missing?
The bots.
I don't have my Twitter open.
The bots are tweeting me. They tweet me.
No, I knew I was missing something.
Right?
All right. So what have I got this morning? Oh, we got so much news. This first one, I just have to talk about just because, oh, my God. All right. So in the Yahoo Tech section this morning in their video games outlet area, former Zynga engineer says one player spent $100,000 on Mafia Wars. Oh,
what?
My God, people.
What?
Yes. $100,000. An anonymous user claiming to be a former Zynga engineer has been posting allegedly internal information about the company to Reddit. That's not good.
Uh-oh.
Among other things, the ex-employee says some customers spent outlandish sums on virtual goods and services and many games, including one user who spent $100,000 on Mafia Wars. You know what's sad about this? I can believe it. The alleged ex-Zynga employee goes by the handle Mercenary Games on Reddit and began posting about a day ago. He says he worked at Zynga for about 8 months, but that he quit the company 6 months ago. The person makes many claims about the game company, but one of the most eyebrow-raising is the alleged amount of actual dollars some of its customers spend playing the games through Facebook. He says he's seen someone spend $20,000 on Frontierville, and another player commit up to $100,000 on Mafia Wars. Further, Zynga has a special name for players who spend in excess of $10,000, Zynga Black. The company supposedly focuses almost all of its attention on players who spend money, treating those who play for free as spam. The post author claims that players those players are the hard crowd, using creators, tweaking features to encourage gameplay habits to bring in the most money.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
While that doesn't really surprise me, I mean, because that makes sense. I mean, why would you focus on the free folks if it's the paying ones who are bringing in the money? But
who is spending $20,000? Do you have? You better be a millionaire. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who would have $100,000 to just throw at this. Oh, my God.
You better be a millionaire in some capacity.
Yes, yes. Has to be. Because if you're living, like, out there on the streets playing this because of your habits, this is sad. This is very sad. But then again, what was it? A couple of months ago, we talked about some woman getting busted for using company funds, wasn't it? She embezzled something like
$1,000
or something.
Maybe she was the one that they were... that they're talking about. Maybe she was the one.
Ooh. Maybe. That's nuts, people. That's not step away from the video. See, yeah. I am addicted to video games. I'm not spending that kind of money on it.
I can't.
free video games, people. Free. Why are you spending money on free?
Because I want to get ahead.
Well, no. My bar is doing just fine without me spending any money on it.
I went back to pub life, and I remember why I quit. Ginger, I can't go there with you. I'm sorry.
It's because you just about have to spend money in that game, and I refuse.
It's not even that. My simulators, I told you, they got to be complicated. Put it this way, Wedding Street kind of allows for some creativity on your part. You know, the bride tells you what they want. You kind of, you know, follow it to a, you know, to a certain letter, your creativity, and you can share your little cake creations and stuff and dresses with your buddies. That I don't mind doing on Facebook. I share those with y'all because it's a unique creation. It's not something you're gonna see a million times. You're not gonna see my same dress when if you are friends with Ginger and I and Snow and well, Blaster won't play anything with us, but you won't see the same thing between the three of us. So I can share with you and say, look at you know Vera Wang, eat your heart out type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do any more of those pub lives and clicking things. It just annoys me. Jay is complaining. 100K on Mafia Wars, I don't see the problem. It's only 3,000 more than what Edgar spent on shoes. Hey, no. My shoes.
Yes. No.
My Second Life shoes. Again, I go back to unique. It's a work of art. It is different. And for that matter, we can see the last time you logged in on Second Life, and we are not pleased with you, Jay. Okay.
No. Where have you been?
Mm-hmm. We get you looking all Wesley Snipes. You see? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got two short.
Jay, you could have been my baby daddy.
and she is pregnant. Oh my God. Okay, I got two quick tidbits because I got a short story and then I got a long one. And I'm sorry for the gum chewing, y'all. I have to do something with this energy.
Nom, nom, nom. Just don't swallow it.
Oh, I never swallow the gum. That's disgusting. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Ugh.
My mother used to do that, you know.
She, no.
Yeah, she just gag me. Anyway, those of you who are fans of Skyrim and you have a decent computer, you can make your own mods now for Elder Scrolls. That's right.
Ooh.
Yes. So there's a new kit out at mods.elderscrolls.com. It's a workshop. I would have posted this on our site for you, but they didn't actually do this in the form of a PR. It was just kind of something they sent over, so we're telling you about it. I should probably tell you what to have for you to run it. It does come with a high-res texture pack, so you don't go making any textures and stuff. Some of you don't know how to make textures, which is evident in Second Life. Just don't do it. If you don't know what a texture is.
Oh, my God. True story. Some of you
stop. Don't.
You hurt me. You hurt me with how bad it is.
Eyes bleeding, just ugh. But anyway, your system requirements, they're saying, should exceed the recommended specs before you even attempt to install it. So don't go run over just yet. First, you need to have at least Windows Vista or a Windows 7 operating system, which leaves me out on at least three computers in my house.
Yeah, don't touch the Windows Vista.
Ugh. You also need a minimum of 4 gigabytes of system RAM. And a DirectX 9C compatible NVIDIA or AMD ATI video card with at least 1 gigabyte of RAM and the latest drivers. And I know some of you out there are some badasses on the computer and can probably overclock your PC to do all this stuff. We say do so at your own risk. But it's mods.elderscrolls.com if you want to go over and see if you can build mods. I would, but I don't have time. I'm not going to take on another project. Ginger already talked me into opening a store in Second Life. I'm selling baby hats.
Oh, yes. I totally talked her into that.
It's her fault.
Listen to her. Blame me.
I am badass with baby hats. Anyway, okay, so some of you out there, a lot of you actually are saying Star Wars Old Republic has taken on World of Warcraft and winning. Well, according to VentureBeat, not so much. Some of you have been staying away from World of Warcraft, but not that many of you, according to traffic reports from a leading independent community websites for both online games. The high-risk, high-reward market of subscription-based, massively multiplayer online role-playing games, or MMORPGs, has become more competitive since Electronic Arts bet the farm on Star Wars The Old Republic, which took 6 years to develop and allegedly cost about $200 million to produce.
Oh,
cost of a movie. World of Warcraft is Activision's most important property, and it generates more than $1 billion a year for Activision. So any any assault on WoW has to be a huge.
Y'all could share a million of that with us every year, just a tad.
Yeah. So when EA reported a strong number of 1.7 million active Star Wars The Old Republic users on February 1st, it left many industry observers wondering how much this gain had hurt World of Warcraft. The fantasy MMORPG by Activision Blizzard has been dominating the market for subscription MMORPGs since its launch in 2004. Yes, we said 2004.
Oh, holy crap, 8 years.
Wow.
Eight years.
Customers have to pay a monthly fee between $13 to $15 to continue playing, but user numbers have started to crumble a little bit lately, with a decline from 11.1 to 10.3 million subscribers in the third quarter of 2011. Activision Blizzard expects to publish updated subscriber numbers during its earnings report tomorrow. And while a further decrease in paying customers seems likely, observations from independent MMORPG communities indicate that the Old Republic's strong start might hurt World of Warcraft a little less than anticipated. One Mr. Man with the name Hubert Thibault is saying that Star Wars The Old Republic is going to be the proof that more than just one MMO using subscription model can do really well. He's also the CEO and founder of Curse Inc. The San Francisco-based company operates a number of popular websites catering to players of MMOs. Curse is reporting, hey, wait a minute. Isn't this one of Blaster's man crushes? Didn't we have them on last year, right when you came up?
So.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they are. Sorry, guys. We forgot all about you. Sorry. Curse is reporting that it's WoW's fan site, MMO Champion, which attracts about 3 million unique visitors a month, hasn't seen a significant decline since Star Wars The Old Republic's launch on December 20th, 2011. Curse is claiming unspecified strong growth for its dedicated Star Wars The Old Republic community, Darth Hater, but it hasn't approached the massive scale of WoW-related sites yet. Another leading publisher of websites that are catering to players of MMORPGs is observing similar trends. XAM Network is operating WoWhead, the most popular online database for World of Warcraft content. XAM president Ryan Bowman stated to VentureBeat that traffic has been steady since September. Comparing January 2012 with October 2011, he found that WoWhead traffic numbers are actually up by 7% despite Star Wars The Old Republic's December 2011 launch. WoWhead traffic is an indicator of user engagement, as the database is primarily visited by players who are looking for information about specific WoW game content. Last December, XAM also launched Torhead, a dedicated database for Star Wars The Old Republic. Its traffic peaked in January before declining a bit and now seems to have evened out, according to Bowman. Quantcast counted 5.3 million visitors for WoWhead and 1.4 million visitors for Torhead. Another,
if anybody ever gets curious, Do a couple of searches. See who owns XAM.com exactly. Just saying.
Who owns it?
It's very interesting. I'll tell you about it later.
You could tell me now.
Remember the website I told you I got banned for because I outed them because the company is actually backed by a gold-selling website?
You should. Hey, look, you are safe over here, so speak freely.
All right. When XAM.com was originally Alakazam.com, I grew up in their forums, The Asylum. You get banned for even mentioning who actually owns the company. It's not just me who disappeared. Anybody who mentions who owns that company disappears.
Oh, wow.
Yes. When the original guy, Jeffrey, I can't think of his last name now, stepped down, the original acquisition, when he sold the company, yeah, it went down bad. They actually removed his partner, and he told him, no, you're going to bring back my partner, or I'm going to leave. They told him, there's the door.
Ooh.
He left. It went down bad, very, very bad.
That reminds me, and this has nothing to do with what Ginger's saying, and it kind of does. I'm kind of, we multitask while we're doing the show. The new Twitter does have a redeeming quality. That I have, that nobody else can see for some reason. I don't know, maybe I signed up for something. But you know how you tweet people and then they say something back to you hours later, you have no idea what they said?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually click on a little link now at the bottom of your own tweet and see what they said to you, and then you can respond properly. Very nice. You can follow a conversation. Nice, Twitter. I still don't like this business with the switching thing. Anyway, so here's my thing. XAM, bad XAM.
Yes.
I don't agree with them that they're basing Star Wars Old Republic numbers on who's visiting your forums. Honestly, as a
true story, because your forums are a mess.
Well,
your OOC forums should not count. Well, not just that it's a mess. It's that people, obviously, if it's a community it's been a part of for 8 years, you keep in mind Star Wars Old Republic just came out, and yes, I am actually defending EA BioWare on this particular point. They of course, there's not going to be a lot of content to put up on a new site. That, you know, Star Wars Old Republic is just getting started. Mm-hmm. Come back, you know, a year, 2 years from now, and then compare numbers, at least when they've gotten some years under their belt, and there's more content, there's been a couple of, you know, packs released. WoW has a big head start on them, and hell, I would wonder, I'd like to see their numbers for EverQuest even, because EverQuest has been around longer than WoW. I want to see some of those numbers. Compare those three games. I mean, I know EverQuest has gone free-to-play, but still, if you're going to – this is not an accurate comparison. It's kind of early, and it's stupid to do. Sorry, people. I don't care what your traffic suggests. You know, traffic also suggests that everybody loves the Ku Klux Klan. Doesn't mean that they do. Some people just go there to do research for school. Who knows why they're there? Doesn't mean that they're popular. Boo! Bad story. Okay, move along. Just what you got?
What have we got? What have we got? We've got Shank 2 available today.
And I'm that was yesterday.
Oh, wait, no, hold on.
You're going to get cut.
Yeah, and apparently I was trying to turn on my camera. Let's not do that. Oh, wow. All right. So much. Well, it was in the news for 2 days. It's so weird.
No,
No, we mentioned all this other stuff, too. Holy crap. All right. So, did we talk about this yesterday? I'm not quite sure if we talked about this yesterday or if I read this yesterday evening. GamePolitics.com, following the money, SOPA push. Ooh. Save the Internet points out some interesting information dug up by Media Matters about where a lot of big media money has gone and why some lawmakers pushed so hard for the passage of SOPA and PIPA. While their analysis can't show that the money was directly related to PIPA and SOPA, it certainly shows the level of influence money has in Washington. No! Really? You mean our laws are based off of who has the deeper wallet? No! All right, so, Media Matters report shows how much corporations spent on lobbying in the fourth quarter of 2011, just as the fight over the passage of these bills was heating up. Combined, organizations spent $182,500 on lobbying contracts, with firms that lobbied almost exclusively on SOPA and TIPA, and an additional $2,022,500 on contracts with firms that lobbied on SOPA and TIPA and a range of other issues. Comcast, Disney, and other media giants are probably not happy with how the whole thing turned out. They didn't exactly get what they paid for, but the fight isn't over yet. Don't forget that, people, the fight is not over. Keep your voice heard. Don't stop fighting.
Did you scare me?
No, I'm not scared. I'm too cute to be scared.
I'm scared you to scare me.
I'm too cute to be scary.
You are cute. That's what makes you scary.
I will stab you while I'm laughing about it. Mm-hmm. It's all good. It's
See,
all
the,
good.
The prettiest flowers are the most dangerous flowers.
Ooh, Jay, did she just threaten to cut you? Oh, you in trouble.
Mm-hmm. They are. Hey, he knows. You don't be mentioning my shoes, man.
Man, those shoes are hot.
Real or virtual, you don't mention my shoes.
Shoes are hot.
So hot. Okay. I'm having issues. As much as I just said nice things about the new Twitter, now I'm going to say bad things. Why is all my stuff split up?
Uh-oh.
I don't believe God likes this. Okay, anyway. Well, I didn't see this one coming. I must say, and sometimes we do see it coming, I didn't think anybody would complain about the whole slave labor thing going on with Apple, but some of you have a sense of decency, and I must applaud you. You deserve a bit of applause. Let me find my applause.
Yes. Where's the applause? Where's the applause?
You deserve some applause. Apparently, a few of you are protesting the factory worker abuse and present a petition tomorrow, according to this one, Jolie Odell of VentureBeat. His Apple customers are protesting the company's role in factory worker abuse by bringing 250,000 signatures in the form of a petition to the Apple store at Grand Central Station in New York City tomorrow. I'd say you say it with a flash mob, too, and elsewhere around the globe. you guys should call Howie Mandel, that show Flash or Mobbed or whatever. Call him and they should do a flash mob. Yeah.
Wow.
And in particular,
petitioners are asking Apple to make the iPhone 5 its first production produced in under entirely ethical working conditions. I say American working conditions. I'm sorry, people in China. Nothing against you, but people over here need jobs. And why didn't Apple just move some of that production over here and then they could kill two birds with one stone? I know they need work too, so do we. Keep it at home. Gotta save home first. One Mr. Mark Shields said, I've been a lifelong Apple customer and was shocked to learn of the abusive working conditions in many of Apple's supplier factories. He's the one who launched a campaign, and a recent string of audits uncovered were some child labor, slave labor, and other abuses at Apple's partner manufacturers in Asia. While the company says it's working to eradicate unfair labor practices and has educated more than a million employees at Apple's manufacturing partners around the world about safety and workers' rights, the facts still remain that iPads, iPods, and Mac computers are the result of grueling and sometimes inhumane worker conditions. At Foxconn, one of Apple's to history, suicides, abusive working conditions, and almost no pay. These working conditions are appalling, especially for Apple, Shields concluded. Apple's attention to detail is famous, and the only way they could fail to be aware of dozens of worker deaths, of child labor, or of exposure to neurotoxins is through willful ignorance, said Taryn Steinbrückner-Kaufman, that's a hell of a name you got there, who's the executive director of Some of Us, a consumer community focused on corporate responsibility. That's why our members are asking Apple to clean up its supply chains in time to make the iPhone 5 its first ethically produced product. The petition delivery is slated to take place in New York, San Francisco, London, Sydney, Bangalore, and Washington, D.C. Again, I say, Apple, why don't you go over there and tell some of the people, you know, we're going to have to let a few of you go. And I know people in, you know, in Asia need iPads. So you can leave some of the production over there, but those iPads should stay there in their country so they can keep some of their dollars and then bring some of that over here and give everybody a nice raise, you know, give them a little more money and clean up everything. And then you will have helped out your own economy here in the U.S. You will have helped them out. Everybody's happy.
Yes. I like this idea a lot.
Just like, ugh, because the way you're doing it now is not working. As again, I say, we need some jobs up over here. People are losing jobs at THQ. They need a place to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
You know what? Honestly, I'll tell you why they don't want to do it here. I worked at Compaq. You all have heard me say this. I worked at Compaq, and I loved it. I'm a geek, so I enjoyed putting together motherboards, like, for 12 hours a day. I really did. I loved it. I got my drill. You know, I'm putting them together, and I'm like, oh, I did 25. People are like, you're doing too many. You're going to make us look bad. No. I'm having fun.
I love that. And it's so much fun.
It was fun. I love doing it. I worked there as a temp for like 6 months. I adore it. Was, you know, nighttime, which meant I hallucinated a lot during the day on the way home, because it's one thing to stay up at night gaming. It's another when you're having a drive to home. Yeah. So I had a lot of hallucinations, you know, squirrels running across the road and things like that, and there was no squirrels. But I loved working there. I did not mind putting together those motherboards because I was like, oh, somebody's going to be playing something at home. Oh, what's the specs on this? You know, what's, you know, flipping it over. But they do that because, honestly, there's a lot of people that worked at Compaq that they paid well, but people were not doing their jobs. If you got one of those bad Compaq computers like late 90s, early 2000, they came from there, and it's because people – Americans, because we get, you know, we have so much power being an employee, even we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. So I think Apple, you should move it over here and tell people, look, you're American people, clean it up. You're going to work. Yes. You're going to work your 8-12 hours, whatever you signed up for. And that's great. We have a high standard. We'll be checking. And if you don't hold up to these standards, you're fired. But give them perks. Be like Microsoft here, or be like Facebook. Here's free food. You can wear what you want to work within reason. You obviously got to have on your anti-static guard and your mask.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, you can eat. You get to rest. And, yes. So that's all you got to do, and then give it to the people in Asia. You eat, you rest, great benefits. Instead of killing people or people threatening to kill themselves, I don't understand that either. Anyway.
I don't either, but. Things are different over there.
Yeah, if you don't get your problem solved, you're dead. Now you just heap more problems onto your family. They got to pay to bury you.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. I'm not for sure whether or not I should talk about this story, but it's kind of geeky. It's kind of not.
Do
it's
it.
Very sad. All right. I'm pulling this story from The Guardian. I pulled from an anonymous Twit feed, China cut off internet in an area of Tibetan unrest. Internet connections and mobile phone signals were cut for 30 miles around a scene of clashes in Sichuan, state media reports. All right, so apparently last month there was a big protest there where Tibetans were shot dead, and this is what's coming from state media. So officials say security forces fired in self-defense after mobs of rioters attacked police and official buildings in southwestern province of Sichuan, resulting in two deaths. So apparently China has gone in now and cut off internet connection and cell phone service. I don't know what to think about this. This is, people, and this is what we really got to think about. I don't want to say U.S. is turning into China, because we're not. But a lot of what's going on with the whole ACTA and the PIPA and the SOPA, they're trying real hard to be able to do this, to be able to cut our services, to cut off our voices, cut out our voices and keep us from talking, keep us from showing what's going on, and that's not cool. That's not cool, people. All right, so that was short. I'm going to go with another one. That's also very depressing. What do we got? Crossfire Europe's biohazard gameplay mode adds online co-op survival. Crossfire Europe, which has some amazing avatars, by the way. I'm in love with clothes. Crossfire players now have a whole new gameplay style to explore. With the introduction of biohazard mode, the latest update to SG Interactive's free-to-play first-person online shooter allows up to four players to collaborate to bring down vast hordes of infected soldiers, mutant creatures, and terrifying boss monsters. European gamers can challenge their skills with the new biohazard mode and for a chance to win special rewards by registering to play for free at crossfire.gamerage.com. By the way, this is only for the EU. So us here in the U.S., we're screwed. I tried to download it. They wouldn't let me play. All right, so in biohazard mode, the Global Risk Counter-Terrorist Unit discovers that a horrific biochemical experiment has been carried out by the Blacklist terror organization. Blacklist was utilizing chemical weapons to mutate its own soldiers, but quickly lost control, unleashing infected hordes, zombies, throughout the secret. Grand Canyon facility. There we go, my bad, sorry. A special team of Global Risk players must now infiltrate the compound and eradicate the horde before it spreads. Yes, this sounds like zombies. All right, so what have we got? Wave-based combat. With 18 new monster types, players must hold out as long as they can, stretching ammunition and med packs to the limit. Players' stout-heartedness will be rewarded with prize crates containing exclusive items after passing each wave tier. Cooperate to survive. I can't talk. The only way to make it through biohazard mode alive is to bring friends and work together. Players who cooperate will earn the best rewards by completing waves. And lastly, deadly boss monsters. Heracloths and Chaos are the demonic bosses controlling the horde. Only the most dedicated players will get to face them in battle, and even fewer will survive. This sounds kind of hot. All right, so, again, this is Crossfire Europe. It looks like an incredibly fun game. There is a U.S. version of it, but I don't know if the U.S. version will have this expansion pack. So, you know, check it out if you want to. Head over to GameMatrix.com for the links, for the pictures, and all that other fun stuff.
And I'm muted and talking. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
All right, I suck. All right, so just so you guys know, the new bullshit movie that's coming.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
You have?
I think so.
Well, I got two short ones. The first of them is about this one. There's going to be a video game adaptation of forthcoming sci-fi blockbuster Battleship, which is going to launch this April. The publisher is going to be Activision. It's developed by Silent Hill Homecoming studio Double Helix Games. It's supposed to be a blend of strategic naval command and first-person action gameplay. The game won't follow the movie's plot, instead telling a standalone story set in the same universe. It's supposed to be available via the PS3 and Xbox, with a unique Wii, DS, 3DS, and DS versions also planned. I love when they do this, by the way. Though they'll be developed by handheld specialist Magic Pockets will be the name of the people doing that. For anyone fortunate enough to not yet have suffered the ear-scouring din of the film's trailer, boo. The Sorcerer's Big Take on the Ancient Pen and Paper Strategy Game of the same name. Remember, those of you who are old enough, remember for us it wasn't pen and paper. Ours was the little cases, remember,
mm-hmm.
with the pegs. You sank my battleship thing. We were, I think most of us here are too, probably Ginger might be too young even to remember that. Do you remember the cases that used to come in?
Yes.
The little
yes,
pegs?
Yes, yeah. I actually had those.
You do? Oh, my God. I'm still coming to your house.
Well, I don't have them, but I, well,
oh,
I do have them here. I have them at my mother's house, but yes.
Oh, you're like me. You had to leave them something so they'd shut up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why.
I had the little blue cases. Well, actually, they were like a very dark marine blue, and you open them up, and they had the red and the white.
Yes. And
maybe
you,
black?
And you'd call out the numbers. B12, you know.
Yes.
You were, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastical.
Yes.
So I'm anxious to see how they're going to update this in the game. Eurogamer is also reporting somehow the Universal Pictures has shoehorned a massive alien invasion and a gang of box-jawed U.S. military goons into the game's unspoken mythology. It's due on screen this May.
I want to say I saw something like that. They saw something crash into the water. They went to go check it out. And the guy on the Navy boat is in love with the captain's daughter. And
why we always got to be in love with the captain's daughter.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. I know. So I was like, wow. And I want to say...
Why?
I want to say the guy in the movie is... Oh, God, who is that? Something Asgard. Asgard from True Blood. The tall...
Alexander Sasgard?
Sasgard.
Oh,
yes.
That 6 foot five, delicious tall drink of water.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's in a Navy uniform. And, oh, girl.
I may have to go see it just to...
I know, right?
By the way, good morning to Mafia War Strategy, who just retweeted what Jay said about my shoes. Y'all gonna get off my Second Life shoes, really, this morning. It's gonna get ugly.
Some free shoes yesterday? Huh?
Did you?
All right. Yeah, I did. I gave you landmarks, so...
I was making baby hats, like the one your baby is wearing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my baby is wearing one. She's cute in it.
I was so proud to see the baby in the hat. I'm so... Okay.
It's adorable.
On to my second short bit. Valve is making a Portal 2 Space Core mod for Skyrim. Yes. Eurogamer is reporting that it's going to be called Fall of the Space Core Volume 1, which means maybe we might get a little more than that. This literally drops the little round Space Core robot into your Skyrim world. Better still, the robot appears to be voiced by none other than Mr. Promiscuous Voice, Nathan North.
A promiscuous voice? I'm sorry. That's
sorry, funny. Nolan Drake. To celebrate the opening of the Steam Workshop for Skyrim, Valve and Bethesda have teamed up to bring you the Portal 2 Space Core mod, which will let the aggressively space-centric little robot tag along on your adventures in Tremel. Valve's blurb on Steam reads, "So, since Skyrim was the only major release of 2011 without Nolan North in it, you should consider this mod a patch to fix that problem." You can also now feel free to include Skyrim in the Nolan North section of your video game library, which is to say, your video game library. The Steam Workshop works in tandem with Bethesda's Fresh Out of the Oven Creation Kit mod, making tools for Skyrim, which we told you about earlier in this podcast. Steam Workshop also lets you easily discover, rate, and download Skyrim mods directly through Steam. Hot, right? Coinciding with the release of the Creation Kit is a high-res texture pack for Skyrim on the PC. And some of you, I hear there's dragon scale texture. Please don't.
No. No, people, stop.
No.
And I hear Kitty in the background. That's so cute.
You can hear Kitty.
Dude, she's adorable.
She has been a terror all morning. Y'all just don't know. I'm not a cat person. I'm not used to this. Let me jump up on top of stuff. I came in and she was meowing at the iPad. I don't know what that was about. Apparently, it was doing something to her. It wasn't on, but she was, on top of my coffee table. Meow, meow. Like, it's not voice activated. There's no Siri in there, Kid Natrix. Sorry.
Oh.
You're a meow.
So cute. All right, what do we got? This one's kind of interesting. Take a virtual dive and experience the life of a speargun hunter by interesting essay.
Not interesting.
No. In-depth hunter, you play as a speargun hunter in search of ancient treasures and rare species of fish in a beautiful underwater world while avoiding the dangerous predators that lurk within the deeps. BioArt is proud to announce the release of their much-awaited title, Depth Hunters. For this. Here's a title not only for the underwater world aficionados, but also for those who love adventure and great graphics. As you might have guessed, the theme of the game is underwater adventures brought to you in 25 breathtaking and breath-holding missions. Rest assured you will get the chance to experience all the perks of the underwater world, empty your mind and calmly explore the levels while quietly observing the fish and scenery, spice it up and start your hunt for fish or...
Leroy Dragons!
You
can
only do that, that's not cool.
Well, you said it was boring. I thought I'd help you out.
It's kind of boring. Oh, you made me jump.
And it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. Oh, she's evil. Do y'all see this? All right, so apparently this is for the PC. Microsoft Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions will soon follow, they say. So, yay, it's not going to be just us to get the pleasure of this game. It's not going to be up on GameAndMatrix.com. But if you want to play it, it is called Depth Hunter.
So all right. This is fresh in the mailbox. Literally 3 minutes ago, a new game.
What kind of new game?
It is from our peoples over at Reverb called Wheels of Destruction World Tour. It's going to be coming soon to the PlayStation Network. It says you can take on the world in the premier downloadable car combat game for PSN as players duke it out in a lethal battle for vehicular authority. This is also in conjunction with Gell Games. Gellit Games, or is it Gellit Games? I don't know how you guys pronounce it. You should have sent a pronunciation over when you sent this. It actually looks pretty good. It's supposed to pit players in an arena of vehicular carnage as they play against each other, sort of an online capture the flag deathmatch. It's going to be five distinct car classes that make for a deathly cutthroat car combat with a unique futuristic aesthetic, all powered by, you guessed it, Unreal Engine. Wheels of Destruction brings together to tear them apart again in an addictive, easy-to-learn, yet hard-to-master battle behind the wheel. In a lawless post-apocalyptic world, Worlds of Destruction World Tour is a demolish-or-be-demolished competition of extreme four-wheeled wreckage. Just make sure you're ready for the chaos and carnage. You can follow them at Facebook. It's Wheels of Destruction on Facebook. And I am looking at the screenshots when I say it's fresh. It's not up on the site yet, but it will be shortly. They are rather nice, considering it's a PlayStation Network only game. I am quite impressed.
Are you quite impressed?
Very, very impressed.
All right. It looks like the fight for Acta, like I said, is still going. Still going.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to actually try to roll all three of these in together. All right, so...
Wait. We scared Jay.
Oh, see, she scared me too.
She's just like, wow, I do that. And it's all over the place. I'm sorry,
Jack. Just know, don't forget, there will be no Half-Life 3. All right. British MEP tapped to inspect text of ACTA. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. David Martin, a British MEP from the Socialist and Democrats Party, has been asked to drop the European Parliament opinion on ACTA after French socialist MEP Kader Erif quit the position in protest of the lack of transparency related to ACTA's progress in the European Union Parliament. Ooh, way to go, Kader.
Woo-woo.
All right, so Martin says, I want the Parliament to have a facts-based discussion and not a debate about myths. This is why I want to have an open debate with all concerned. He went on to say that ACTA was designed to be about better enforcement of existing copyright and intellectual property laws through international cooperation. He added that it did not change existing European law in this area. He says he will examine the text and take legal advice from the European Court of Justice. The European Parliament has to approve the agreement before it can become international law, with a vote expected by sometime in June. The treaty faces opposition from many countries in the EU, thanks mostly to the media coverage and worldwide protests. Yes, thank you. We should be protesting and protesting loud. All right, so it looks like they're going to hold their first discussion on ACTA February 23rd. There's going to be a public workshop. Oh, good Lord, I cannot talk. A public workshop on March 1st to discuss ACTA. So that's interesting. That's with the EU. And then there are also some EU members, apparently, that are delaying ratification of ACTA. Active protests around Europe have caused various European Union governments to suspend the endorsement of the anti-copyright treaty. EU members Poland, Slovakia, and Czech Republic have all announced that they will delay ratifying the treaty. They say we've already mentioned the protest in Poland, where even members of Poland's government got involved by donning Guy Fawkes masks in Parliament. If y'all don't know what that is, if anybody knows who Anonymous is, they wear those masks. That is Guy Fawkes. All right, so, and the Czech Republic's opposition, but we have talked about the Slovakian, but we haven't talked about the Slovakian government thinks of ACTA. The Slovakian government officials said that they would delay the ratification of ACTA to allow for a public debate on the matter. One of the core reasons so many around the world have a problem with ACTA is because of those who negotiated it did it in secret. I'm looking at you, U.S. Stop that. Smack you on the hand. If not for various documents leaked during the process, the public wouldn't have learned anything about ACTA. While the final draft of the treaty was far less draconian than earlier drafts, the language of the text bothers a lot of people. Slovakia's economy minister said that the text needs to be opened up to public debate before it will be endorsed. All right, so, again, we can expect a vote sometime in June. It still requires that every member of the country ratifies, the treaty first, which does not look like it's going to happen. So ACTA may be dead in the water. Let's hope.
Or at least put away for a while like the other two were.
Yes, yes. But that does not mean that they're gone for good, people. Don't let your guard down.
All right. As you guys can probably tell, it's time for us to take a short respite and drink some health potion. I'm going to have me some fried cat feet.
Om nom 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 cat feet. Love you, cat feet. You'll be nice, that kitty cat.
I'm being nice. I rolled string and everything this morning from old yarn.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know, right? And she ripped it up in a matter of seconds. Anyway, crazy cat.
Mine is asleep in the ugly chair here in my office.
I have a baby. See, yours is all full grown and it sleeps. Mine doesn't sleep.
Mine sleeps all the time. Even when I don't want him to sleep, he sleeps.
She wants to play. She wants to climb me. And meow at me angrily or talk back. That was funny this morning. I said, you stop that. Meow. I was like, I'm going to put you outside. Stand for yourself. Anyway, you guys know where to find us. GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and everywhere in between. Where am I going today? I'll be in second line for a little while, but I think I'm actually going to pop over to Age of Conan. They just sent us something, so I'm going to see what it is.
Yeah.
They sent two of them, Ginger, just so you know. If you would like to venture. I don't know if my computer can run Age of Conan anymore.
I thought you used to be able to.
Well, we'll find out. Okay, so if any of you, of course, come back later, you can hear the rest of the podcast. You guys still haven't told us if you want us to increase to a full hour so you don't have to go back and download. Of course.
Let us know. Let us know. Jay, do you want us to do a full hour? Can you handle us for a full hour?
Mm-hmm. Live a full hour, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can. Stop playing Half-Life. Put it down, Jay. Got about 40 some odd seconds before we go into break. And there's an interesting question passing around the internet this morning. It's called, who shot Rare? Now, I didn't say JR, I said Rare.
What?
Yeah, everybody's wondering if Microsoft didn't kill off Rare. Remember Rare? Remember those guys? You don't remember them?
Mm-hmm. I
do remember these, but what's the deal? What? It just sounds like it could be juicy. Is it going to be juicy?
Oh, it's juicy. A new feature on UK developer Rare has revealed a former employee's true feelings about the Microsoft acquisition of Rare back in 2002, and he explained why it was so essential. He said it is Phil Tossel, who was the director of gameplay and HCI at Rare until September of last year, said he thinks that what happened to Rare really just reflects what has happened in the industry. Larger teams, larger budgets, and reduced risk. He said in that sense, he thinks that the Rare of today is in a better position to deal with the demands of the modern game industry. It was undoubtedly a challenging process for everyone at Rare, and I'm sure Microsoft as well. But ultimately, I think it was necessary for the continued survival of Rare. Tossel shared his views with Eurogamer in a special feature they have up today dealing with the history of Banjo-Kazooie. Remember? They're the ones who made that. He said the game industry is driven by certain cycles, and with escalating team sizes and production costs, I don't think the Rare of old could have continued as it was. He also admitted that while the 100% acquisition was vital to the survival of the company, it also brought cultural changes that many on the development team struggled with. He particularly mentioned a feeling among the employees that control and trust were somewhat lacking. So there's also a lot of gradual introduction of certain Microsoft behaviors that crept into the way we did things, lots more meetings, performance reviews, and far more regard to your position in the company. I have to agree with them there. Microsoft, they make sure their employees are very proud of working there.
Yeah.
It's why you very rarely hear anybody saying, I quit or I left Microsoft on bad terms. They don't do that either.
Yeah.
They're excellent diplomats. And like I said, best place I've ever worked, spoiled rotten. Nobody has come close to spoiling me. Really.
I've got to move out of the boonies. That's all there is to it.
Now, he says, while these aren't necessarily good or bad per se, they began to erode the traditional Rare culture and the way of doing things. Many of the people who'd been there a long time found these changes extremely hard to accept. Justin Cook, who was at the time a principal designer at the company until November of last year, agreed with Tossel's views and said saw a strong future for his former employer. He says, you can't compare old and new Rare because the comparison is no more valid than comparing steam engines to bullet trains, he argued. He said, what is incredible is that Rare still exists. It is still making high-quality games that millions of people play. There have been bigger and more successful studios. There aren't many that are still in business and going strong. Rare is a survivor. You can check out what's going on with Rare at a whole bunch of different websites this morning, but that question is the one that's circulating around, did Microsoft kill Rare? And obviously they didn't. I don't think anybody that Microsoft has actually acquired has disappeared, whereas EA, when they go in and they buy somebody, eventually they absorb them completely, at least in the beginning. I think right now they're having a difficult time. I mean, they publish – I don't think they necessarily own Bethesda or which was the one we just talked about a minute ago. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of it. Just that quick. But I think EA will absorb or completely destroy some of the companies that they take in. Because keep in mind, The Sims did not belong to EA. It was a Maxis, which is 6AM backwards. That's how much I love my Will Wright. I know all his trivia.
Oh, he was talking about the second line. He had an actual thing.
I know. And I couldn't get to it. I love me some Will. Oh,
yeah.
He created Maxis, and EA eventually snapped him up. But he did a bunch of games before he did the Sims. Take a look through their catalog. They were the kings and queens of simulators. There's also a Theme Hospital, which is one of my favorite games. It was by a company called Bullfrog that got bought out by EA. I don't remember them. You don't hear of Bullfrog games anymore. They created Theme Park and all them, but they just kind of got absorbed. And I like that Microsoft still lets the companies retain their identity, so to speak. It's kind of like a record company. If you're Lady Gaga, you're still Lady Gaga no matter where you go, but Lady Gaga's with, whoever records today, RCA Records, and she may be with somebody else tomorrow. They don't actually, completely absorb her identity, like the Borg, like the EA is. I love that about Microsoft, is that everybody gets to keep their identity. However, you guys are killing your indie people, and the indie people, we need to keep them around, really.
Yes, we do. The indie people, that's where your next Halo is going to come from. Somebody better be making me a next Halo.
Put the indie channel back on the front page. They deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
They work hard.
Yes, they do.
Because War of the Worlds deserves some kind of awards, I swear. That's an excellent game. I haven't gotten back to play it yet.
And just a note to you all, when you see us playing, you know, games on Xbox, if we manage to grab, you know, one before ahead of time, if you see us not playing it again, doesn't mean we didn't like it. It just means we got a lot more other stuff to be playing that we have to play.
Oh, my God. Some of the stuff that we have to play, we do not want to play.
Cut the buttons. You know what? That game is actually fun. It is actually fun. Oh, my God.
Is it?
It is.
Ah.
It is actually fun. It's stupid, but it is fun. It is. Snow was right. It's the stupidest game, but it is fun. I played for several hours. I don't know why I was playing. Snipping. I love cutting buttons off of stuff for real, so maybe that's why I find it fun. Anyway, move on to the next story. I'm sorry. I got to play some of that game. Where's the iPad at? Ginger.
It's like, oh, sorry. Somebody was texting me and needs to stop texting me. There's no snow here. I'm jealous. All right. So Game Mill Entertainment unveils Country Dance All-Stars full in-game soundtrack and official game trailer. And there is a hair in my bra that's bothering me.
Oh, my God. Ginger.
All right. So dance to your favorite songs from megastars Blake Shelton, Carrie Underwood, Brad Paisley, Tim McGraw, Sugarland, Alan Jackson, Zach Brown Band, Luke Bryan, and more. All right, so Cowboy Up to Get Down, Game Mill Entertainment, an independent publisher of entertaining mass-market video games, today revealed the full Country Dance All-Stars in-game set list featuring over 30 chart-topping hits from the biggest names in country music. By the way, guys, where is my game? All right, so Country Dance All-Stars, an entertaining dance game with bonus sing-along features, will debut exclusively on Kinect for the Xbox 360 video game. Oh, my God, really? Xbox 360, they almost got me. They almost got me. It's going to happen this March. Check out the star-studded country music action and the official Country Dance All-Stars gameplay preview trailer, which is up on GameNatrix.com, so head over there and check it out. All right, so what do we have? We have Alan Jackson, Good Time, Billy Currington, People Are Crazy, True Story, Brad Paisley, Water, Brooks and Dunn, Boots, Scootin' Boogie, which is, you know, everybody has to have it. Ooh, Carrie Underwood with Cowboy Casanova. I love that song. Dierks Bentley with What Was I Thinking? Not going to talk about her. Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. What? She's not a country singer. She wants to be on there.
Oh.
Josh Turner, Why Don't We Just Dance? Kelly Pickler, Tough. Ooh, I love that song. Lady Antebellum, Looking for a Good Time. Also another good one. Miley Cyrus is down there, Hoedown Throwdown. I'm rolling my eyes so y'all can see this. Luke Bryan, Country Girl, Shake It For Me. Little Big Town, Little White Church. Oh, I love that one. Tim McGraw, Felt Good on My Lips. The Last Ride, Take You Down. Sugarland, Stuck Like Glue. Rascal Flatts, Life is a Highway. Miranda Lambert, White Liar. And, of course, one of my favorites, which is hilarious, Zach Brown Band, Chicken Fried. So, there were many more I did not name.
Now, Ginger, okay, Gwyneth, I understand, you know, country fan, you might kind of like, what was his, Joaquin Phoenix that was deciding he was going to be a rapper?
Phoenix or whatever? Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, and he wasn't good. Whereas, ironically, what was that boy from Married with Children that played Bud Bundy? He wanted to be a rapper back in the 90s, and he was actually good, but just wrong time. So I can understand. But now Miley Cyrus actually has a beautiful voice. She just has some issues going on with her.
She does. I'm more rolling my eyes at the Hoedown Throwdown song.
When I was forced to watch the show, I was like, oh, my God, stop. But then I ended up having to watch the movie one day. The 3D premiere, I had the kids over, and the 3D glasses didn't work, and it was a problem. But she actually has a lovely voice. She does.
She really does.
She actually put her, first of all, whoever's writing your songs, Miley, ditch them, because they're writing you these little cutesy songs, and she actually has what we call the diva voice. Diva voice, if you don't know who that is Celine Dion, the Whitney Houstons, the Mariah Carey. She has one of those kind of voices. She just needs to write a songwriter.
There was a video a while back with her singing with her godmother, which is Dolly Parton.
Yes. Well, Dolly has an old voice, but
those two singing together, well, Dolly is a
diva.
I mean, whether or not we like her voice,
I love
diva.
Dolly.
But those two singing together were beautiful, just gorgeous.
You know, Dolly and I share a same childhood memory.
Yeah?
Because I love her so much, too. I saw an interview with her once where she said she saw hookers and she thought they were really beautiful, and that's why she dressed the way she did. And I, same thing. I used to see hookers over here when I was little. You know, when we were growing up, they were out here in Houston. They'd be out on the street, and I thought they were so pretty. And I was like, Mommy, those ladies are so pretty. Why are they standing outside? I didn't know what they were. And in my mind, they might as well have been supermodels walking the runway, and the street was the runway. I was like, they're so pretty. So first time I heard her say that, I just died. I was like, I'm right there with you, Dolly. I'm right there with you. They are so pretty. Why are they standing out? Mom's like, don't look at those women. Don't look at them. Anyway. I don't know. I didn't know. Okay. Apparently, Ubisoft had some issues yesterday.
Ooh. Ubisoft had issues? No.
Well, they
never.
They had a, according to Eurogamer, they had an online server switch snafu, and I did the air quotes when I said that. They've admitted that its online server switch has affected games previously promised to be safe from maintenance. Which games these are, Ubisoft hasn't said, but there have been gamers posting on their official forum and reporting being unable to sign into the PC version of Driver San Francisco. Also, futuristic city building simulation Anno 2070 is apparently experiencing problems as well. Driver San Francisco was one of Ubisoft's most recent releases. It pledged would remain unaffected. Other games said to be safe were Assassin's Creed Revelations. Uh-oh. Just Dance 3. Oh, my God. No wonder. No wonder the other day. Oh, and The Settlers Online.
Wait, what? The Settlers Online. I don't know if I've heard of it.
Yes, and I want to play it because I saw it. I've been trying to avoid it. Okay. I was trying to download a new song from Just Dance 3. That's why. But I didn't think to check. I thought it was just my Xbox connection. In any case, they're saying, we apologize for the inconvenience. It seems some of you can't connect to games announced as playable during migration. Ubisoft announced this via its Twitter feed and says, we're on it, and we'll keep you posted.
Y'all broke it. Y'all better be on it.
The server changed.
You know how many irritated gamers there will be if they cannot play their game?
I'm going to be irritated. The server changes move Ubisoft's online services in-house. Previously, they were run on third-party servers. I understand why. That makes sense. PC games scheduled to go completely dark throughout the maintenance is Tom Clancy's Hawks 2, Might and Magic Heroes 6, and The Settlers 7, while Mac gamers will lose access to Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell Conviction, and The Settlers. You play on the PC also set to be available. All other games were to be impacted.
You know, it makes sense to host everything on your own servers nowadays. I mean, especially after the whole mega upload deal.
Yeah. It's better.
Yeah.
But
I'm probably going to rant about that for a while.
You got to fix this. you got to fix this business. I was going to cut some people today.
Who are you going to cut?
I don't know. I was going to get on some Assassin's Creed and just cut like nobody's business, but I can't now, can I?
I got to go rob some farms again.
Oh, yeah, Skyrim's.
See, and there's crafting in there. Why? This is why I was staying away.
I understand. You know, I understand.
I love me some crafting. All right, so what do we got? We got all kinds of weirdness going on today. Game Kiss turns 3, steal gamers' hearts during Valentine's Day. Oh, joy. All right, Valentine's Day is around the corner, and Game Kiss has fun excitement in store. Each week, a different game channel will receive experience and points and double the rate. Players who log in during Valentine's Day win Cupid tattoos, which earn triple experience. Players also earn points whenever they send a gift. We will offer many new Valentine's Day items, including our special Valentine gift box. GM Roberto, hey, are you hot, says, our 3-year anniversary was incredible, and we celebrated both in-game and out. We want to keep the good times going, so we're glad Valentine's Day is so close. We know our gamers will love all of the activity in the game, especially burning channels, where we reward double EXP and points in a different channel each week. All right, so anyone can enjoy freestyle street basketball for free. For further details, you can head over to GameKiss.com. Go over there and check it out. Whee!
All right, and that is going to outdo it. I'm going to say something about Google, but I think I'm going to let it pass. Oh, maybe I should. Would you like
Google?
Yes, I want to hear. Okay, before we go.
They didn't like my name. They tried to tell me my name was wrong. I had to prove to them that I was who I was.
Well, there's a new project called ScreenWise, and Google is paying normal people to install a Chrome extension and browse the web as usual. Panelists, as these people are being called, will be paid in Amazon gift cards, one $5 gift card for every 3 months. To be exact, Google notes that Amazon is not part of the program. The research project may continue for longer than a year, and according to VentureBeat, the human guinea pigs who sign up may or may not see their gift card amounts change after the one-year mark. It's not the most heavyweight bribe in the world, but it's what Google partner Knowledge Networks is offering. Google tapped the market research firm to conduct the ScreenWise project. The Chrome extension will track what these users do around the web, the sites they use, and what they do on the sites. Google's digital user data gathers over the course of the project to help us improve, or to quote-unquote help us improve Google products and services and make a better online experience for everyone. Participants must be Google account holders and must be 13 years or older. Google is not commenting any further on it other than to say nothing. Well, they were asked if they were going to make any distinction between the adults and minors who downloaded the ScreenWise extension, and of course, there's no response as of yet. Okay. Wow. The things people will do for a gift card. Okay.
Yes, yes.
No, that's not even a very good gift card.
No, they should say 20 or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In any case, we are up out this piece.
Out oh here.
We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow, or if you feel like finding us wherever we may be, shoot us a tweet, an email, smoke signals, we answer all that.
Later, boys and girls.